Well, I am really impressed that so many people want to learn how to set, clarify, and maintain objectives for your life and ministry. And let me clarify one thing right from the beginning, and that is we're going to limit our discussion to that aspect of your life apart from your job. Now, it may be that you will, after we're finished here and you get to thinking about this and planning for the next year, that you may want to incorporate some aspect of your job. Or if you're a student, of course, that's a whole other ballgame. You don't work for a living yet. You notice that yet. But this aspect of your life that does not relate to your job. You go to work at 8, get home at 5, something like that. Then you have to figure that out yourself. And it may be that there are ways that you can incorporate objectives into that phase of your life that will be applicable, but we are not specifically talking about that this morning. We're talking about the rest of your life and then the ministry that God calls you to and how to set, clarify, and maintain objectives in those areas. Now, several years ago, the Navigators, as an organization, began to operate on a management concept called management by objectives. And so most of the planning and the procedures that are set up in the Navigators around the world are done on the basis of objectives. What are we trying to accomplish? What are our goals out there? 1 year, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. Now, there is something about objectives that is rather interesting at this point. The further out you go with an objective, the more general it becomes. The closer to home it is, in other words, if it's 1 week away, the more specific it becomes. And we'll get to this in a minute, and I'll give you some illustrations of what I'm talking about. Let me give you two or three passages of Scripture that relate to this matter of objective setting. Jeremiah 31:21. The Lord here, through His prophet Jeremiah, is speaking about Ephraim. And as you remember, Ephraim was not one of the favorite sons. He was sort of the black sheep of the family. But in verse 30, he is called Ephraim, my dear son. Is he my darling child? For as often as I speak against him, I do remember him still. Therefore my heart yearns for him. I will surely have mercy on him, says the Lord. Now, put yourself in Ephraim's place. Ephraim was a mixed-up guy. And, of course, in this particular situation, it's talking about the whole family, the whole tribe of Ephraim. He apparently didn't know where he was going, and he didn't know how to get there. And so the Lord gives him a bit of advice, and he says in verse 21, set up waymarks for yourself. Make yourself guideposts. Consider well the highway which you have trod previously, which you've come over, and then the highway ahead, and then the road by which you went, which you've just passed over. Now there are some very significant and important principles in setting objectives that are stated right in this passage. One of them is that it's obvious that Ephraim had fouled up in certain areas. And there isn't a person sitting in this room, including the guy standing on the platform, that in days gone by hasn't fouled up in some way as it relates to things that God wants you to do, God wants me to do, and I've fallen short. And so what he suggests to Ephraim is consider where you've been. Look back. And then consider the highway ahead, where you want to go, and as a result of that, set guideposts for yourself, waymarks, measuring points. And this could be, you could take it in terms of dates and goals, checkpoints along the way. And that basically is all we're going to talk about this morning, how to do this. Setting guideposts for ourselves and waymarks along the way by which we can measure and determine how we're doing. See, suppose you set some goals for yourself for next year. Well, you don't want to wait till December 31 before you begin to measure how you're doing, huh? You want to have some time periods in there where you can sit down, get along with the Lord, take out your objectives that you've written out, and find out how you're doing. All right, another passage, Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Brethren, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal. Now, this is a very encouraging passage to me because as I look back in the same way that we just mentioned here from Jeremiah 31:21, there are certain things that I have not accomplished that in January of this year I set out to accomplish. Now, that can do one of two things to you. It can either challenge you or it can discourage you. And at this point, I refuse to be discouraged. So I'm going to press on. I'm going to forget those things, my past failures. During 1973, I'm going to set some new goals and objectives for 1974. Some of them will relate to the failures during 73. And I'm going to press ahead and set those goals and shoot for them. Now, in a sense, this is what Paul was talking about here. Psalm 32:8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide you with my eye upon you, says the Lord. Now, the tremendous thing about that in goal setting or objective setting is that the Lord has promised to lead us in this area of our life. I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you shall go. And so, the thing that I want to point out to you right from the beginning in this matter of setting some objectives for yourself for this next year is that it will grow out of extended time alone with the Lord, because He is the one who has promised to lead us and to guide us in the way that we should go. And we want His direction, don't we? We want His guidance. I mean, if we're going to put something down on paper as a goal, we want to make sure that it's from the Lord, huh? And so, let me encourage you, sometime between now and Christmas, to do this very thing. Get off a half a day alone with the Lord someplace and give considerable thought to this matter of what is it that God wants me to do next year by way of objective setting for my life and my ministry. Now, we're going to come back to that and what you do in that time in just a moment, but let me mention this. I mentioned that the navigators operate on the basis of management by objectives. Lauren Sandy and I were talking about this some time ago, and he said, you know, I don't particularly think that we should limit ourselves to the matter of management by objectives, but really, we should, as Christians, as well as navigators, take the approach of living by objectives, which incorporates the whole of our life. And I like that. Now, living by objectives is an approach to life in which we establish target periods or dates. We structure objectives which are to be achieved within those target dates. We measure actual achievement versus what our stated objective was. And we do this periodically. We don't wait just until the end. So living by objectives is an approach to life in which, first of all, we establish target periods or dates. Two, we structure objectives which are to be achieved within those target dates. And three, we measure actual achievement versus our stated objective. Now, when you get ready to actually sit down and write some objectives, and supposing you've set a Saturday morning or a Sunday afternoon aside, and you're going to spend some time alone with the Lord, what are you after? Well, don't start out by asking the Lord what specific objectives He wants you to put down on paper. Start out with the areas of your life in which God is particularly interested at this time and in areas of your life that you know you need some goals set in. I have written there for you all to see, for the world to behold, what the first draft of my objectives are for my life and my ministry. Now notice, I have divided it into major areas: physical, intellectual, spiritual, family, and then ministry. And actually, I divided ministry into three different areas, but I didn't put it on that because there were only five objectives that I felt that I needed to come up with right now, and there was no point in dividing those into three. But in my life, I feel that there are four areas that I particularly need to give attention to this next year: the physical, the intellectual, the spiritual, and the family. Now, as you approach this, I would suggest that you do the same thing. Now, there are all kinds of areas like this. For instance, you may want to have something in relation to your emotional life or your attitudes. You may have a dirty, rotten attitude somewhere in your life that you feel God wants you to work on. Well, that could be set as an objective. Your prayer life, meditation, faith, evangelism, disciple-making, leadership development, money management. There are all kinds of various areas of your life that you may think of as you're alone with the Lord praying over this that He will bring to your mind. Now get those key areas settled in your mind first. Put them down on paper. Now what those are, gang, is this. Ask yourself the question, what is my responsibility before God? Now, let me show you what I'm driving at here. I have a whole other set of objectives that relates directly to my job with the Navigators that isn't incorporated in any of this. But when I wrote those objectives, they were all directly related to the areas of responsibility for which the Navigators are holding me accountable. Now, why not use this same approach in our life and our ministry in relation to our accountability to God? And that's what I'm driving at. What is it that God is holding me accountable for? What are those things that as I've been living my Christian life over these last several weeks or months, what are the things that God has been impressing on my heart? Things that I am not really performing well in. Things that I need to deepen my life in. Strengths that need strengthening. Weaknesses that need shoring up. What are these areas of responsibility before God that He is speaking to me about? And as I prayed over this in my own time of trying to come up with these objectives, I came up with those five major areas that you see listed on that sheet of paper. Now, in the ministry aspect of it, let me just give you a couple of ideas here. I had it broken down into three major areas. Our giving program as a ministry under the Lord, our finances, the use of our home for ministry. Carol and I both feel that the Lord has given us a very lovely home in Colorado Springs, and we enjoy sharing it with other people, and we feel that our ministry, our home, can be a real source of ministry to the lives of people. And then thirdly, speaking opportunities. And this is related somewhat to gifts. I feel that the Lord has given me a certain gift in the area of speaking, and I want to develop this and I want to take advantage of it. And so you'll see on there that there are a couple of objectives that relate directly to this aspect of outreach and ministry related to gifts. And that's another thing that you want to consider. It's kind of like Moses when the Lord came to him and said, I want you to deliver the children of Israel. And Moses, in his own mind, was totally inadequate for the situation. And finally, the Lord, in somewhat a little bit of disgust, said, what is that in your hand? And he said, a rod. And then, of course, we all know how God used that rod. Well, examine your own life and your own heart. What is that in your hand? What is it that you have that God can use? And then pursue that as far as your ministry is concerned. And it will differ from person to person. See, objectives are very personal. They're for you. It would be a total mistake for any one of you to copy down my objectives and try and follow them. They're for Jack Mayhall. It's what God has laid on my heart, what He wants me to do, not what He wants you to do. So what I'm saying is you need to get inside of your own heart and find out what it is that God is directing you to do. And part of this is related to failure, the past. Part of it is related to strengths that you have that you want to deepen and make more available to the Lord. Some of it has to do with gifts that you have that you can exercise for Him. So that time alone with the Lord, determining before Him what it is that He wants you to write, what areas He wants you to write objectives in, is very important. Another thing, let me just reemphasize, I've already mentioned it, but consider the historical perspective. How did I do last year? What are known weaknesses that are priority that I need to work on? Now, you need to be careful here because sometimes you can be setting some goals for yourself that are very unrealistic. As you look back in retrospect and you analyze what you've done in the past and why you failed, it may simply be because you set the goal too high. In what areas do I need further development? What are high priority routine areas of my life? It's important. What are high priority routine areas to maintain a consistent quiet time? Now, I have maintained a consistent quiet time. And so, therefore, I didn't put that on there because of past failure. I put it on there because it's a high priority routine item. Now, not routine in the sense that it's sometime taken, but it's a regular thing. And it's vitally important to me in my life. And therefore, it's important enough to put down, even though I wouldn't need to write it down as an objective. But yet, if I have it down on paper, it's there before me and I can check up on it. There are two kinds of objectives that you can write. One is quantitative, the other is qualitative. Quantitative are fairly easy to write and easy to measure. Qualitative are more difficult. Example. An example of a quantitative objective would be under physical, number one, to get under 180 pounds and maintain my weight below that level. That has to do with quantity, and it's fairly easy to measure. All I got to do is step on the scale in the morning. Now, a qualitative objective would be one like to increase my knowledge and understanding in the areas of the marriage relationship and the attributes and character of God. It's a qualitative thing. It's something that is going to happen in my life and in my heart that is rather difficult to measure. And yet it is something that I feel is very important for me for this next year. It is advisable that if in any way when you write your objective, you can quantify it, do it. But if you can't, you know, don't let it bother you. Now, we'll get to how to write an objective in just a few minutes. Now, to me, the most important reason for putting objectives down on paper, considering before the Lord what it is He wants me to do, the most important reason for doing this is this. Setting objectives enables us to determine our priorities and then to stick with them. Now, all of us can find more to do than we've got time to do, right? There is no want of something to do in the life of a Christian. The problem that we face so often as Christians is the good becoming the enemy of the best. And how many times I've seen guys and gals who are really zealous for the Lord. They want to serve the Lord. And they get involved in this activity and that activity, and it's kind of like the circumstances of life sweep them along. And whatever is the next big deal to get involved in, that's what they're involved in. Or a little deal, or this activity, or that opportunity. With no direction whatsoever, no goal set, and so they are just swept along by the circumstances of life, whatever happens to be in vogue at that particular time. And that's exactly what will happen to you, gang, unless you have clear-cut objectives and goals that have been predetermined by you before the Lord in a time alone with Him. Because then, once you've got these goals set and your objectives are clear-cut, every opportunity that comes along, every activity that you can get involved in can be measured in the light of contributing toward that objective or objectives. Teaching a Sunday school class, going out in evangelism on Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday nights, getting involved in a half a dozen Bible studies. How does all of these activities that we can get swept up in and involved in relate to the accomplishment of the objectives that God has laid on your heart preceding, beforehand? Doss Troutman, one of his favorite slogans was, "Activity is no substitute for production." And that's exactly what we're talking about. See, goal setting and objective setting has to do with accomplishment. Accomplishment that has been predetermined before God by you. What it is God wants me to accomplish. Not just activities in which He wants me to engage. And so if I know what it is that God has on His heart for me to accomplish this next year or in the next 6 months, then I can weigh this activity, that opportunity, this thing that somebody wants me to get involved in against my goal and ask myself the question, is this going to help me achieve my goal, my objective? Will it directly or indirectly relate to the accomplishment of that objective? Or is it something totally irrelevant as far as my objectives are concerned? Then once we've established that, its relevance to our objective, then we can make a valid decision as to whether or not we should get involved in it. And in most cases, we probably should not. So that's the primary benefit of establishing written objectives for our life and our ministry. Criteria for effective objectives. It should be written. Obvious. Thoughts disentangle themselves, passing over the lips and pencil tips. Write it down. All right, now, concerning the style and the content of a written objective, notice the little formula that I've got there. Two, then an action word or phrase, then the result, and a date. Example, the action word is be available for ministry, or action phrase. In at least four conferences, the results. Ministry in four conferences is the results. During the year is the time period. All right, look at item 1A3. Life, physical, point number 3. To play squash, racquetball, tennis, or golf. 2, play is the action word. squash, racquetball, tennis, or golf once a week, the time period, when I'm home. That's another qualifying factor in there. So that's just a simple little formula that will help you write a clear, cut, to-the-point objective. Secondly, an objective should be realistic. For instance, to maintain a jogging program that will give me at least 40 points a week measured by the aerobic scale. Well, if I had put 100 points, to me, for me, that would be very unrealistic. Now, it might be too short. It might be too little for some of you guys. But for me, it would be very unrealistic. I couldn't achieve that. I mean, at 6,000 feet in Colorado Springs, I might end up with a heart attack. And that's not one of my objectives for next year. An objective should have some stretch, room for growth. One management seminar that I attended, they were talking about this and setting objectives. And they said there are three types of objectives that you can set by means of stretch, of giving yourself some leeway, some challenge to it. You can take the approach of a pussycat, or a fat cat, or a tiger. And they recommended the tiger approach. Well, maybe to get started, you'd better be satisfied with the fat cat approach. For instance, under ministry, to give a minimum of 15% of our gross income to the Lord's work. Well, a way to put some stretch in that would be to say between 15 and 20%. And then shoot for the high end as God leads and as He prospers and enables us to do that. Or you might take item number one there under physical. To get under 180 pounds, real down deep in my heart, what I'd really like to do is get down to 175. But I know that that'll be a real struggle. But I'm going to put it in there. I'm going to rewrite that one on the next time I write this, and I'm going to put 175 to 180. Just so when every time I go over that, that 175 stares me in the face. That's what I mean by putting stretch into an objective. Give yourself a goal to shoot for that is realistic, but then maybe add a little bit more that'll give you something to shoot for. An objective should be specific enough to permit measuring. And an objective is usually stated in terms of results rather than activities. Now, you remember at the outset I said that the longer range an objective is, the more general and vague it is, the closer in it is, the more specific and concrete it is, and also the more it is related to specific activities. For instance, item number two under physical, to maintain a jogging program that will give me at least 40 points a week. See, that's on a weekly basis, and therefore it really is stated in terms of activities rather than results. So what I'm saying is that's it's kind of a poor example of an objective. It's more an activity that I am going to engage in order to accomplish a greater objective. In fact, item number two and three are both related to a more overall, broader objective, which would be for me to stay in some kind of decent physical condition. And the way I'm going to accomplish that is through a jogging program and playing handball and racquetball and so forth. You follow me on that? So what I'm saying is I've done a poor job here, really, in writing objectives, but I am so concerned about this area that I wanted to make sure that I knew what I was talking about. And also, I wanted to have a poor illustration to show you. The key there is results rather than activities. An objective should be written concerning a priority matter and not routine items, unless routine items are being fouled up. Or, as I previously mentioned, unless they are so important to you that they need to be put in, just by way of reminder. What is a good example of a result objective as opposed to activity objective? Look at 2C. To have a regular Bible study, seminar, or discussion group in our home in which I am involved or leading. Now that is a result objective. The only thing that may be a little bit vague in there, which I could tighten down on, is the term regular. But what I mean by that is not necessarily every week or every other week, but something on a regular basis. At one period of time during the year, it may be every other week. Another time, it may be once a month. Another time, it may be once a week. Right now, Carol and I have a Bible study with some couples that meets every other week in our home. But it's specific as far as results. We will have a Bible study, a seminar, a discussion group in our home in which I am involved or leading. Another one would be item number one under physical, to get under 180 pounds and maintain my weight below that level. That is a specific result that is totally unrelated to an activity. Another one would be that would not be as easy to measure, but nevertheless is talked about in terms of results, is item C under spiritual 3, for instance, to increase my knowledge and understanding in the areas of marriage, relationship, and attributes of character of God. In getting alone with the Lord and setting up these priority areas of our life on which we're to write objectives, and then in the actual process of writing the objectives, would it be a good idea to also get some advice or counsel from a friend that you know well and who knows you well? And I would say yes. It would be very advisable to, if you have a friend that you feel may have some insight into your life and could help you in this area, it would be very wise to talk it over with them. But when it comes right down to the final doing of it, I feel that's when it's between you and the Lord. But to get counsel and advice ahead of time, yes. Well, checkpoints. Where it comes in is on the date, under item one, on criteria for effective objectives, to action word or phrase, result, and date. Now, that date can be a year or 6 months, but then what I would suggest that you do is set up checkpoints along the way. Maybe once a month you will get out your objectives in your quiet time or during some protracted time alone with the Lord and go over them and see how you're doing on each one, analyze them. And you will have to determine how often this is necessary for you. But I would say once a month would be a minimum. Do we come to God to affirm these objectives, or do we come to the Lord in a time protracted with Him to have Him reveal to us what the objectives are? And I would say my answer to that would be, in some cases it would be both. There may be things that the Lord has been laying on your heart for a period of time that are very clear-cut, you need to have objectives on. And maybe you could even talk about it in terms of convictions that God has given you, or in areas that He is convicting you. Well, that's something that, you know, when you get alone with Him and you begin to pray about this, He obviously is going to bring it up again. And so that would be something that would already be predetermined between you and the Lord before you even get alone with Him. But then during that period of time, when you're praying over these matters, He may bring something up in your mind and heart that you haven't thought about up to that point. So I would say both. There are so many areas of our life that we can write objectives on that if we took the time to have one on every area of our life, we'd never get to any of them. We would dissipate our efforts trying to do all of them. And the thing that this is why I feel we have to get along with the Lord in order to determine what these priority areas of our life are that He wants us specifically to work on for a given period of time, but then also keeping in mind that there are normal, regular things that we will be doing in our life on which we may not have a written objective. For instance, you may be so secure and so totally in victory regarding your scripture memory program that you don't need an objective written on scripture memory. Or your quiet time. or evangelism or some other area. And this is what I'm referring to when I talk about the routine, the things that are already in progress and that you're doing well on. You don't need to write an objective on those. No, you can't. It would be impossible for us to write an objective on everything that comes to our mind concerning the facets of our life. We've got to stick with priority items, the things that God lays on our hearts as things that He wants us to work on during a certain time period, say of a year. And that is not to say that it's the only thing we'll be doing, but it's this thing that we specifically want to make sure we do, long-term and short-term. Could you set up some objectives for, say, a three-year period and then some for a six-month period? And yes, you could. If you have some things that you're working on and you feel that God wants you to develop over a longer period of time than a year, why, set some long-range objectives. But keeping in mind that those are going to be more general in their content. Should a husband and a wife share objectives, or should they work on them separately? And my wife is sitting in the audience, so I've got to be honest on this. And when I sat down to write these objectives, Carol did not know about it. Now, even though she's going to be involved in a couple of them, at least. But there are certain objectives that are unwritten between Carol and I that we have as a husband and wife that we want to see the Lord do both in our lives and in our ministry during this next year. And we have talked about those, but we have not put them down on paper. But I think it would be a very good thing in some cases to put it down in writing and pray over together when it's a team thing between you and your wife. Is it a good thing then, after you've set down these objectives, to also put down the steps you're going to take in accomplishing them? And the answer to that is yes. You've got to have a plan of action. After you've set your objectives, then the next thing is to come up with a plan of action. How does putting objectives into your schedule work out? Well, this is where the realistic setting of objectives comes in. You know your schedule. You know how much time you've got apart from your job. And therefore, you know, and then once you begin to set your objectives, you can determine, well, that's unrealistic. I cannot accomplish that because I just don't have time. Also, what that will do is it will help you. See, when you first start out to write objectives, I can guarantee you what's going to happen. You know, what's going to happen is what this guy right down here in front brought up. You're going to have so many things down on a sheet of paper that you're going to get discouraged just looking at it. Well, the thing you've got to do is then begin to pare away. And this is where prayer comes in. This is where the guidance of the Lord comes in. What is it that the Lord wants me to really work on this year? I can't do everything. So what is it that God wants me to work on this year? And that relates to your schedule. How much time do you have? Is it realistic or right to think in of objectives in terms of your whole lifespan? I know certain people who, for instance, have a life verse, and they have some goals, one or two or three, for their whole life. I think that's unusual, but there's certainly nothing wrong with it. Well, let's take how to maintain and accomplish your objectives. And then if we have any time left, we'll take some more questions. Or I wanted you to work on a little project, but our time is cut short, I think. How to maintain and accomplish our objectives. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 points. Number one, a plan to carry out each objective. Activities and timetable. Now, as you look at the objectives that I have written, except in two or three instances where I have written them in terms of activities, primarily because they're short range, it's obvious to see that I do not have a plan yet worked out on accomplishing these. But for instance, to continue to develop the husband-wife seminar with Carol and try to have three of these during the year. Now, this is Carol and I had this seminar yesterday morning here at the conference, and the Lord is more and more opening up the opportunity for us to do this type of thing. But I feel that I need to do some more study, research, reading on the subject in order to be better qualified and ready to handle the type of thing that the Lord is leading us into more and more. Now, Carol is way ahead of me on this, and I feel like I'm playing catch-up. But what I have in mind is to work out a plan during this next year of reading, of maybe attending a seminar that both of us could go to on this subject somewhere here in the U.S. And then as far as the last half of it is concerned, we've already got two lined up for next year, so all we got to do is get one more, and I've got this objective accomplished. So, but that's what I mean by a plan, to get a plan worked out. I have yet to sit down and work out a reading schedule, what books I want to read, what articles I need to be aware of, and then putting that material together into a package. And this applies to a couple of others here, like under spiritual, item 3, to increase my knowledge and understanding in areas of the marriage relationship and the attributes and character of God. Well, what I've got yet to do is to work out a study program in order to accomplish that. In other words, that would be the plan to accomplish this objective. Under ministry, item B, to use our home for entertaining regularly in order to minister to people through hospitality. We have already started doing this, but this is something that Carol and I feel very strongly about that we want to continue to do, and we have a sort of a plan already worked out to do this. It's rather flexible, but it is a plan. So this is what I'm talking about, and this answered somebody's question down in here. For instance, the plan under my jogging program is 40 points a week following the aerobics thing. Well, I know that in order to get 40 points a week, I've got to jog 2 miles three times a week and 3 miles once a week at my pace. So that's my plan. Okay. Secondly, review your objectives. Now, we're talking about maintaining now. We're talking about accomplishment. Review your objectives at least once a month. Check up on yourself. Go over them prayerfully and honestly and see how you are doing. Now, you remember when on the 3 or 4 trips our guys went to the moon? And if you probably followed the first one, and then the rest of it all became routine after that. But you remember they got out there so far, and then they had to make some slight adjustments. They were just slightly off course, and so that at certain checkpoints along the way, they made adjustments in their course in order to make it to the moon. Well, again, we need to think of doing the same thing in order to accomplish our objectives. Objectives and the plan itself should not be so set in concrete that we cannot make adjustments or changes as we see necessary. And so as you sit down and evaluate how you're doing, you may need to make a slight adjustment on your plan. You may see an adjustment needs to be made here. You may see that your objective that you've bitten off far more than you can chew. And you didn't realize it back there, but now you're beginning to see that you just never will be able to accomplish this. And so you prayerfully consider before the Lord, now what do you want me to do on it? What kind of an adjustment can I make? Either in the objective itself or in the plan. And the thing I'm talking about here now is let's not get our hearts so, or our minds so involved in one particular thing that we are inflexible and refuse to change if we see that there is change that's needed. Everything is changing all the time. There are only a few absolutes in the world. All right, 3. Evaluate all opportunities, possible activities, or investment of time in light of your objectives. I cannot tell you how important this is. I could stand here for the rest of the morning because this is really the key right here. If you fail to do this, you might as well not even start in the project. Evaluate all opportunities, possible activities, or investment of time in light of your objectives. Does this opportunity, does this activity, does this investment of my time contribute toward one or more of my objectives? And if it doesn't, 95% of the time we should say no. If it does, then we need to give it careful consideration. Now, this is the whole point, gang, in writing objectives. It's the predetermination of how I'm going to spend my time. That's the name of the game. That's why it's so important to get along with the Lord, to let Him guide us in this matter. Because it's the predetermination of certain things that I'm going to give my life to this next year. The investment of my time, and time is a very precious thing. If you're involved in an AV ministry or someplace and you're involved in a team, then what you need to do in the writing of your objectives for your ministry particularly is they need to relate, the objectives for your ministry need to relate to the objectives of the team and your team leader. See, this is true in a job when you're managing by objectives. My objectives for my job, for my job in the Navigators need to relate to the overall goals, not only of the Navigators, but of my immediate superior, or the department that I'm working in, or the division, or the region, whatever it might be. So in that situation, that's very important to keep in consideration, because I know a number of you are probably involved on an AV team somewhere, and so when you're sitting down to write your objectives for your ministry, you can't do it just on your own. You've got to relate it to the team. And what are their goals and objectives for this coming year in the ministry? Remember, on this item of evaluating opportunities, possible activities, and investment of time, the good can often become the enemy of the best. That's a little phrase that's worth committing to memory. Number four, personal discipline. Just plain old personal discipline to stay with your priorities. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things. How? Through Christ who strengtheneth me. Yeah. And see, this is why I emphasized at the beginning the importance of getting with the Lord and letting Him determine what these objectives are. Because then He's involved with us and we're involved with Him, and He has promised to provide the strength and the stick-to-itiveness and the discipline to accomplish these objectives. Isaiah 30:21. I heard a still small voice behind me saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand, when you turn to the left. The guidance of the Spirit of God leading us. And then item number five, prayer. To continually pray over these objectives, in the light of a verse like 1 Corinthians 15:58, 1 Corinthians 16:13, Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And we have to take those things into consideration. But the Lord will help us if we pray over these items. All right, now let me suggest a little plan for you to follow if you want to really put this into practice. And I trust that this has been practical enough and down to earth enough for you to get a hold of. But begin to pray about this thing right now and ask the Lord to begin to work in your heart and to bring into focus for you some of these key areas of your life that He wants you to write objectives on. And then get a half a day or a couple of half days or a whole day alone with the Lord and begin to crystallize some of these key areas. And I would encourage you to do this within the next couple of weeks. See, what I have left to do now is I've got to go back with the Lord and rewrite some of these objectives. I think it's pretty clear on the major areas that He wants me to do. But I've got two more steps at least. I've got to rewrite these objectives. Then I've got to come up with a plan. So I've got several hours yet ahead of me. And I've already got a head start on all of you. So I'd suggest that you get started on this in the next couple of weeks. These major areas of having Scripture to base the writing of objectives on, and I feel that's a very good approach. For instance, I have a passage of Scripture behind each one of these on my life and my ministry, each one of these major areas. And it can work both ways, I feel. I feel that the Lord could use a verse of Scripture to lead you to the area, or He could lay an area of your life on your heart to get to write objectives on and then give you some passages of Scripture for it. It could work either way. But I do feel it would be a good idea, it's a good point, to come up with some passages from the Word that would relate particularly to the major areas, not necessarily to every objective. Then once you've got these major areas, then begin to sit down and take them one at a time and begin to pray over it. All right, now what is it that God wants me to accomplish in the area of my spiritual life, my physical life? Maybe He's laid the whole area of money, finances, how you're going to handle your finances on your heart. Well, what does He want me to do this year financially? And then begin to write objectives. Then go away from it for a while. And then another week or two, come back to it and rethink and pray over it again. And rewrite your objectives. Make them more clear. Pinpoint them better. And then after you've done that at least twice, then begin to work out your plan. How am I going to accomplish this? If you sit down and say, well, I'm going to do this and I feel I need to do this, this is why I emphasize the matter of prayer. Because the Lord knows, and He can lead us in these things, in the areas that He wants us to accomplish during this next year. Now, if on the other hand, you're going over your objectives and reviewing them, and you begin to see, oh boy, there's another area of my life that I've really missed, and I feel that it's more important than this item right here, and you pray about that, and that's where you make these adjustments that I was talking about. It may be that God will have you either change an objective slightly or the plan to accomplish the objective, or it may be that He could lead you to eliminate one objective and replace it with another that has come into focus and is more clear-cut and is a greater need at this point. So, stay flexible, I think, is the key. Don't get set in concrete. But on the other hand, if you're going to do that type of thing, if you're going to really change a whole objective, eliminate one and add another, you want to have good reasons for it. And you want to make sure it's really from the Lord. How about the matter of setting your objectives too high? And this is one of the criteria. You've got to be realistic in setting your objectives. You know you. I know me. And the Lord knows us better than we know ourselves. So if we pray about it, we take into consideration our time, how much time we have, other factors that are involved in the accomplishment of that objective, our own abilities and so forth. We can be realistic in objective setting. But even if we're not, supposing we're down the road 2 or 3 months and we see, well, man, I'll never be able to achieve that. I set it too high in the first place. I knew it when I did it, it was too high. Then cut back. Make it realistic. How many objectives would be a realistic number to try and attain? It's really hard to say, especially when we're talking about life and ministry. In a work situation, a job situation, I'd say 8 or 10 would be a maximum. But in our life, it could be more than that, maybe 15, something like that. But I think the more important thing is to make sure they are on the priority items rather than how many. I would say that the primary reason or the primary benefit is the thing that I've emphasized both at the beginning and at the end, and that is it helps me keep in perspective what it is God wants me to zero in on for the particular time period, to keep my priorities set, in view, and therefore to evaluate the activities and the opportunities that I engage in. It keeps me on track. It keeps my goals set in front of me, and I know where I'm going. I know how to accomplish it. And then when all the myriads of other things come in, the opportunities, the glorious opportunities, you know, then I have something by which to evaluate whether I should get involved or not. And in most cases, when an activity or something that will consume my time or one of these glorious opportunities comes along and I have it has no relationship to any of the objectives that I have on my written objectives for that particular time period, then I have to would really have to have some good reason for getting involved in it. Otherwise, I'd have to say no. And of course, it saves sometimes a lot of hassle because there are things that letters I get or invitations or this type of thing or that opportunity, and it's very easy just to say no. I'm sorry, the Lord doesn't want me involved in that because it has no relationship whatsoever to anything that He's laid on my heart to do during this next few months. I'd say that's probably the greatest benefit to me, other than just the fact of really knowing where I'm going and I'm not drifting. There are times, of course, when we just need the fellowship of another Christian. Or maybe going downtown and having a cup of coffee, or around the corner and having a cup of coffee with somebody, or a Coke, would be involved in an objective that you would have, say, in evangelism, if it's a non-Christian friend. I mean, there are those short-term objectives, short-term activities that can directly be related to an objective. But what I'm getting at is I'm not trying to set up objectives to predetermine every 15-minute segment of my life. But it's more the broad sweep. It's the things that are really going to be consuming of quantities of time that maybe I just can't afford. And yet, on the other hand, there are those little segments of time that sometimes just having an objective, it isn't that I have to pull the sheet out, but if I get in the habit of thinking in terms of will this really contribute, I can say, well, man, I'd really love to, but I just don't think I better right now. And I could not tell you how many times in the last 2 months I've said that to somebody. It's not the bad becoming the enemy of the best. It's the good becoming the enemy of the best. I mean, there's nothing wrong with going out and having lunch with a couple of Christian buddies. See? Be delightful. I would have loved it. But the point was that there were other things that at that particular time had higher priority. I have to say no more than I can say yes most of the time. Now, how does that apply to you? I think you would too if you knew where you were going and you knew what your objectives were. Not that there's anything particularly spiritual about saying no, but the thing that it does, it gives you the opportunity to say yes to the important things. Okay? All right. We better quit. Everybody's leaving.